Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. It's amazing to me that when people come to Jesus, the lights come on. All of a sudden, there's this profound thankfulness that just gets poured into their lives. All of a sudden, they're seeing all they've been through and they're seeing the Lord has protected them and brought them to that very moment that they would believe. Absolutely amazing. They see His love and care and they're just overflowing with gratitude. That's what Psalm 100's about. And I have a couple songs for you too that are about that too. I don't know how I survive in this cold and empty world for all this time. I only know that I'm alive because You loved me. When I look back on what I've been through, there are things that I wish I didn't do. But now I do the things I do because You love me. And now that You're in my life, well, I'm so glad I'm alive. 'Cause You've showed me the way, and I know now how good You loved me. I believe in things unseen. I believe in the message of a dream. And I believe in who You are because You love me. With all my heart and all my soul, I'm loving You and I never will let go. And from now on, I'll let it show because You love me. Because You love me. Boy, that's an old one. I've done that for about 90 years. But here's one I've never done before. And I think it's a profound song. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the blessings I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving You or the kindness You've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it so. Help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed You so, help me, Jesus, my soul's in Your hand. Try me, Lord. If You think there's a way I could try to repay all I've taken from You, maybe, Lord, I could show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to You.
I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hand. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hand.
Thank you, thank you. But that gratefulness is just a huge part of what it is to come to Jesus and to know him. And we're going to read Psalm 100, which is a psalm for giving thanks. Interesting title, isn't it? Let's pray together before we read the scriptures, though, shall we? Let's pray. Lord, we're your people because of what you've done for us. And this is your book that you've given us. Would you open it to us? Would you help us? Would you open our eyes? Would you encourage us? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I'm going to read it again. Listen to this one more time. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. An incredible song from this songbook of the Jewish people. Like I said, it's still Thanksgiving for me. Still Thanksgiving, and I love this holiday. And I love all the holidays. All of them make us think back and remember and be grateful. And this gratitude is a beautiful thing. In fact, the Bible tells us throughout the scriptures to continually be giving thanks. It should be the natural reaction, even in the bad stuff. I read last week, in all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Did you get that? Give thanks in all circumstances. I'm working on that still. I really am. I'm working on it. We're called to be a thankful people. And I want to tell you, Psalm 100, it's amazing. It gives us three specific things here that I see. Three things. And they all begin with the same letter. I don't know how that happens to me. But it does. We're called to thankfulness. We are created for thankfulness. And because of his care, we're thankful. Let me give you this. First of all, we're called to be thankful. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. This is a statement to all humans, all the earth. Shout for joy to him. That's an amazing statement. But do you want to know why all people are called to be thankful, to shout to joy to the Lord? I'll tell you why. All humans are wired, hardwired for this. Deep within the heart and soul of every person is a need to thank the Lord. It's just something that we naturally, since we're humans, we understand the facts. That means we assimilate the stuff that's out there, the facts of this is a created world. I'm a created being. And then we can appreciate it, and then we can articulate, we can talk about it. We pick this up. We naturally see it. Children do naturally. Humans lose that sometimes, but we're like hardwired to pick this up. In this room is a whole bunch of radio waves. There's a bunch of television signals coming through this room. Microwaves, cellular signals. They're all coming through here. You can't pick them up, can you? Because you're not acclimated to it, okay? You just can't, you're not wired for that. You can't pick it up. But my cell phone, this is one of the most amazing creations of humans, is this. I mean, your whole life can be in this little thing. And that's good and that's bad sometimes. But it picks up a signal. There's a Wi-Fi signal in this room. This phone is wired to pick that up. It's an amazing thing. I want you to know that you're hardwired to pick up your thankfulness, where you came from, that God exists, all of that. You're hardwired for it. And let me tell you, just like this phone, oh, it's pretty. It's pretty. But if it isn't wired, if it doesn't pick up the signal for which it was made, it's just a very attractive paperweight, is all that thing is, right? Humans, through our cynicism and our heartbreak in this world, so many have lost the signal that we're to be thankful to a creator. We've lost that. It's just so sad. In fact, it's Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, he said, "For all have turned away, they have together become worthless." You know what he meant by that? Is that we don't relate to the person who created us. We're not picking up the signal anymore. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, he said, "Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile or worthless, and their foolish hearts were darkened." The receiver was turned off. Remember that? My grandma used to love that old song. "Turn your radio on." You remember that old song? But there's something about that song that we're wired to pick up the fact that he exists and that he cares for us, and we should be grateful for that. To me, that's a beautiful thing. But what happens is, as we walk farther and farther away from God, our hearts become dull. Our receiver quits. We don't hear from him anymore. And all of a sudden, humans start thinking of themselves as that they are alone in the universe, that there's nobody else, that it's just us, and that somehow we're some happen chance of nature, that somehow we've evolved to all of this. That's really too bad, and that's just really, really dull. We are called to be thankful, and we're called to call the world to be thankful. The folks all around you and me, they don't have a clue, and they live in this darkness, in this stupor of not knowing who they are or why they're here, and we are here to point them to the one that they should be thankful to help them with that. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. And in every step of life, too, not just in what you consider your religious life, to a Christian, everything is sacred. Everything's important. I mean, you remember the first Thanksgiving, right, in Massachusetts there, in the Plymouth Colony. Their first Thanksgiving was a beautiful thing. By the way, I talk to folks and they'll say, like, you know, in fact, somebody posted it on Facebook, that make sure you're thankful to everybody around you who has ever done anything for you. Well, yeah, of course we should be thankful to one another. But that isn't the meaning of our lives. The meaning of our lives is to be thankful to the one who created all of this and us and the universe. And so we kind of miss out when we think the only people we can thank are the people around us. By the way, at Plymouth, on that first Thanksgiving that you've heard of, there was one earlier than that. I'll tell you about it in a moment. But at Plymouth, they did not put that meal together to thank the Indians. I don't care what they told you in school. Read William Bradford. Here's a very interesting historic idea. Instead of reading what the historians said happened, why don't you go to the people to whom it happened and read what they wrote? The news people do that. Something will happen, and then they will tell you what you should think about what the president or a congressman or somebody said. You don't need somebody to think for you. You are a bright person. Don't trust somebody's slant on something. Go to the source. Go to William Bradford. You wonder what happened? The rest of the story is so interesting. Thanksgiving happened because of a change they made in the Plymouth Colony. When everybody came here from Holland, that religious group that came and landed on Plymouth Rock, they held everything in a commune, which means everybody owned everything equally. Everybody got the same equal amount out of the storehouses. Everybody was supposed to work. It's called socialism. And it failed there because some people worked really hard. Some other people didn't work hardly at all. The people that did work hard said, forget it. If this is all around, I'm not, you know. And that was the attitude that was being fostered within the Plymouth plantation. So what they did was they gave everybody a piece of land. They grew their own gardens. They did their own work, and they got to keep the work of their own hands. And the thing just exploded. People were just going to it and working hard and getting ahead and all of that at Plymouth. And that's when they got together and thanked God. I'm going to say the word, capitalism worked. Oh, I know that's a bad word. The thought police are going to start saying that you can't say anything positive about that. But the idea of personal work and personal gain and personal property rights are something that is intrinsic to the teaching of scriptures. The Bible says, if a man don't work, a man don't eat, okay? You work, though he is to earn his food from the sweat of his own brow. Now look, of course, you know, there are folks that can't work. And that's why we have that wonderful system set up to help them. We're all for that. But let me tell you something. It's nobody's job to take care of you but you. And they discovered that, and it turned that whole thing around. It was going to be a big flop. And they got together and thanked the Lord on that first Thanksgiving for him prospering the work of their hands. Read it. It's really, what William Bradford wrote about it is amazing. All right, so there's this other Thanksgiving you may have never heard of. Since I'm off the road this far, let me tell you the rest of it. 3 years before the Pilgrims, there was a group that came from London. They went and founded a colony in Virginia. King George I kindly gave them the right to establish a colony in Virginia. 39 people went over. Now, you know the Pilgrims went over for religious freedom. Yes, and that's a good and right thing. You want to know what this group went for? Oh, I'm going to say another bad thing in church. To make a buck. They came here. It was called the Virginia Trading Company of London. And they came there to do trade and to make a living. That's why they came. And in their charter, it said that at the moment they stepped off the ship onto the sand, we order that the day of arrival be kept holy as a perpetual holiday of thanksgiving to Almighty God for giving us safe transport. That's the first Thanksgiving, and you never knew it. Isn't that something? That's where it happened. And what did they come for? They came here and were grateful for the opportunity to work and make a living. Do you see that? Thanksgiving is to be not just in what we consider a religious setting, but in all settings. All corporations need to thank God for the opportunity. It would transform our world. Anyhow, so we're wired for this, right? You're wired for it. You're called to it. It's really important. We're called to it. Here's the other thing. We're called to it because we're created for it. We're created for this. Look at Psalm 100 again. It says this in verse 2. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are the people, the sheep of his pasture. We're created. He created us. He created us for this. We should be thankful for those reasons. Not only that, and this is, of course, the Old Testament, and the New Testament tells us the rest of what he's done. Other than creating us, he bought us. God planned to send his son to die on a cross so that we could be forgiven and made right. Did you hear about the little boy that built the sailboat? There was this little boy that made a model sailboat. He loved it. You know, his grandpa used to do it, and when his grandpa died, he decided that he would try to make a sailboat, so he made a sailboat. And he kind of looked at what his grandpa's done, and he'd talented like his grandpa. He made this little wooden sailboat, and he had it on a string, and he would take it to the lake, and he would float it. And one day, he let go of the string, and the wind was coming from behind him, and his sailboat sailed way off into the lake, and he lost it. And a few weeks later, he was going by a pawn shop, and in the front window, he saw the boat that he had made. And he went and he said, "You found my boat. I want my boat." And the owner said, no, that's my boat. I bought that from somebody who found it, and it cost $6. You got to come up with the money. This little guy went home, and he cleaned out people's garages, and swept their driveways and mowed their grass to get $6. And he came back and gave the man his $6, and the man gave him his boat, and he was going out of the store. He was heard saying, "I made you and I bought you. You're mine twice." Now, that's exactly. The Lord made us and he bought us. We're his twice. This is an incredible thing. We're not just called to it, we're created for it. And it's so good to know who you belong to. Everybody within the sound of my voice, are you tired? Are you tired of trying to figure this all out on your own? Are you tired of trying to somehow keep up the firm upper lip and whistle in the dark and act like everything is okay? You and I both know it's not okay. Don't you want to rest from that? Don't you want to know the one who made you? And don't you want to know why you were made? So important. My buddy Steve Brown told me a story. There's a lady named Mary. She lives outside of Augusta, Georgia. And she was sitting on her deck, and she was reading a book with her hand at her side when all of a sudden something licked her hand. And she looked down. Here's this older, kind of portly little hound dog. So she petted his head. He sat there. She got up to go get some more iced tea, and the dog followed her. So she opened the door, and he went in. And he went into her kitchen and flopped on her linoleum floor. Flopped on the kitchen floor, laid there. She went out, kept reading. After a while, came in. He was still there. After about an hour laying there sleeping, this dog gets up and leaves. Goes to the door and barks, and she lets him out, and he leaves. The next day, she's on her deck. He's scratching at the back door. She opens the door. He comes in, goes into her kitchen, flops on the floor, sleeps for an hour, gets up, goes back out, barks and scratches at her door. She lets him out, and he goes away. This happens 3 days in a row. She says, "What is this about?" So she writes a note. "This sweet dog has been coming to my house for 3 days, and all he does is sleep in my kitchen. What's his name? What's he doing?" Puts it on his collar, and the next day she hears him barking in the backyard again. He's got a note attached to his collar. So she lets him in, gets the note, opens it up. The dog's name is Billy. Billy lives in a house with 5 children, 2 of which are under 3 years old. He comes to your house every day for some rest. And it's concluded by saying, "Can I come tomorrow?" I mean, aren't you like tired? Listen, forget all of your intellectual arguments. You think you got it all together. Listen, your arguments don't work. Your ideas that you heard and learned are only going to lead your life into a destructive direction. This is the way to go. The Lord loves you, and he created you, and you are created for this. And I'll tell you, you say, "Well, how do I start with the Lord?" I'll tell you how. It says in verse 3, "Know that the Lord is God." A better word for that, this is a beautiful old Hebrew word, but it means to acknowledge that the Lord is God, to acknowledge it. Like when you are in court, I'm sure you've never been there on your own for anything you've done. I have. Anyhow. And when the judge enters the room, "All rise," right? And we all stand up. Why do we acknowledge the judge? We acknowledge that he's the judge and that he has the authority. Do you see that? That's what it is. So if you want to begin a relationship with God, the place to begin is simply acknowledging him as the authority and potentate over all things. That's the place to begin. You acknowledge him. You're created for this. And it's so important. And by the way, I mean, he made you. It's so clear that he did. The atheist can try explaining away DNA all they want, but that encyclopedia of thousands and thousands and thousands of volumes that are written in a language within your DNA was written by somebody. To me, the DNA is the ultimate proof that we could not have evolved from a lower species. Come on, it's time to give that up. Let's move on. You were created for this. You're called to it. You're created to it. One more. Do you see how God cares for us? Let me just give you this. It says, verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." Get this. "For the Lord is good. His love endures forever, ever, and his faithfulness continues through all generations." Look how God cares for you. First of all, it says he is good. There's 3 simple words here. He's good, which The word simply means that which is opposed to all evil. Anything that's evil in this world, God is not the source of it. So you can try to blame God for the evil in the world. How could a loving God and all that? Well, God made significant people, and significant people have done really stupid things and created this. The only other option was to create a bunch of robots, okay? So there's evil in the world. He didn't create it. He didn't do this. He's good. He is opposed to all evil. And also, oppositely, it means he is that which is the source of all good. Every good and perfect gift is from above, it says in James 1. And that's exactly true. You come to him, he'll do you nothing but good. Second of all, his love, it says, endures forever. The old translation says his loving kindness endures forever. And this also is another beautiful Hebrew word. It means one who has an attitude of wanting to care for someone who is completely dependent. My dad lives at Autumn Ridge, and there are these angels of mercy that work in that place that have this gift of loving kindness. They see dear old folks that don't know what day it is and can hardly remember their own names and are incontinent and can't take care of themselves in any way. And the calling of their lives, the joy of their lives, is to care for people who are completely dependent. That's the kind of love that he has for you. He loves you that way. His love endures forever. You see, that's not going to change. So he is good. His love never ends in one other thing. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Get this. This means an inner constancy. Someone who is continually stable. He's faithful. That's who he is. And it's never going to change. Now, who else would you rather entrust your life to but him? He's good. He loves you, and his faithfulness is going to go on, not just through your life, through all generations. To me, that's beautiful. There's one more word, and then I'm done. It says here in the beginning of the psalm, beginning in verse 2, it says, worship the Lord. You know what it really means? That means serve. Listen, if you're going to be thankful to him, it comes out, not just in words, but in actions. So many of you here are such a great example of what it is to be grateful and to show that gratitude by serving, by doing what God would want you to do in your life. Go out and serve him with thankfulness. God bless y'all. Come on, let's stand together to pray. Let's pray together. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you for you. Thank you for making us the way you did. Oh, Lord, so many that are listening to me today, they've lost their way. And I ask that you, Father, would rekindle those connections and that you would help my friends to begin to acknowledge you as God. And I know what you will do. You will lead them all the way to the cross of Jesus. You loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son. You are so wonderful, and we thank you. Help us, Lord. Father, may we continually see you as the source of all things. Help us in all circumstances to give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.